So thank you very much. So if Paul thought it was hard following Lord Deben, I've got to follow Lord Deben and Paul. So makes it even harder. But thanks to both of them for doing some wonderful scene setting. So I just want to start by emphasising that issue that John Lord Deben was talking about urgency. The weather has been trying to tell us something. Last year in the UK, we had temperatures of 40 centigrade. This empirical data says that maximum temperatures in the southeast of England are rising by something like a degree per decade. I find that pretty terrifying. But actually, this year has been, globally at least, even more alarming with this extraordinary month of September that we've just had, 1.75 degrees above pre-industrial against a Paris target of trying to keep below 1.5. And the IMO and Copernicus tell us that 2023 is likely to be 1.4 degrees on average above pre-industrial. And that's when El Nino has barely started. So the El Nino impact next year is likely to be much stronger. So the climate is telling us that we really do need a huge sense of urgency about this. So Paul's told you about this, so that'll make it nice and quick for me. We have the Climate Change Act. We have six legislated carbon budgets, which take us out to 2037. We've been coming down that dark blue track, and we've met the first three climate budgets. One of them was helped by a certain global financial crash. This most recent one was assisted by COVID. So you might say we've had a bit of luck. I'll put that in some very big inverted commas in meeting those carbon budgets. And the dotted yellow line is the government's current indicative path for getting to the next ones, of which I'll say a little more later. Paul very sensibly showed you something about the trends we were seeing up to 2019 in terms of where we were going in terms of emissions. That actually is something I usually show, but I haven't put it this time, so it's jolly useful you showed it, Paul. Because actually, of course, since 2019, we've had COVID. So trends have all gone out of the window. But Paul very, very clearly said to you, the main thing that was driving our emissions reduction up to 2019 was actually decarbonising the electricity system. So if we compare 2021 with 2020, about the only thing we can say is, oh yes, we started being allowed to travel again, and we all took to our cars, and so we saw a big increase in surface transport emissions. And then if we compare 2022 with 2021, we still aren't really picking out much of a trend, except that, of course, you'll notice we were all allowed to fly again, so we see a huge increase in aviation emissions. And you might also notice that even when they're corrected for temperature and we had a mild winter, we still saw a significant drop in emissions from residential buildings because, of course, the price of gas had gone up so dramatically with the war in Ukraine. So that's about all you can tell, I think, from that. But it sort of tells you where we are, and we are gradually getting back to a position of stability, I think, when we will be able to look at trends again, and we won't have to keep referring back to 2019. However, we've got to think about how we're going to get to our 2030 goal. And the earlier slide pointed out to you that we've got where we are so far, but actually we've done the easy bit. It gets harder as we go forward. And if you take out aviation and shipping emissions, just because they haven't yet stabilised since COVID and they're kind of all over the place, if you look back 8 years and you look forward 8 years, we've been reducing emissions at about 3% a year. But as we go forward, we've got to increase that to almost 6% a year. And we know if we look backwards, a lot of that has come from decarbonising the electricity system, which has been relatively simple and hasn't had to involve people very much in changing their behaviour if at all. So if we take out the benefits of taking coal off the system, then we've only been reducing in the rest of the economy by about 1% a year, and what's left going forward for the next 8 years to meet our 2030 goal is that we have to multiply that by about 4. So we've got to be reducing emissions 4 times as fast as we have done in the last 8 years if we're going to meet our 2030 goal. 4 times as fast across key sectors of the economy. And that's going to need a lot of engagement of people, but also a lot of very, very strong focus from government and some very clear and effective policy delivery. So you can see the yellow bar is looking back 8 years, the emissions reduction. The pale blue bar is looking forward. You can see electricity has taken almost all of the load going backwards, but industry needs to more than double its rate of reducing emissions. Surface transport needs to probably about quadruple. And the other thing, buildings and fuel supply, the big emitters need to pretty much double the rate they've been reducing emissions. And if we think about industry, of course, we're talking about, actually, we're now talking about 7 years, because the data, of course, we have are for 2022. We've got 7 years. Industry takes a long time to make investments to change major processes. We have almost no time at all to get that very significant change in our industrial processes. So John mentioned, Lord Deben mentioned, that the government was forced to put out a new plan for reducing its emissions. We had the net zero strategy in 2021, and after the government was taken to court, the court decided it needed to have a strategy where it was clearer where the emissions reductions were at, how the emissions reductions were actually delivered by policy. So beginning of this year, we got the carbon budget delivery plan as a response to that court judgment. And this is a comparison of the net zero strategy with the carbon budget delivery plan. And you'll see there's one really significant difference that's quite important, which is in surface transport. And there are two contributors to that. One is that the government realized that the benefits from hybrid vehicles are nothing like as strong as they thought they were going to be. And so the emissions from plug-in hybrids will be significantly greater than was expected. So we should be trying to move to full electric vehicles as quickly as possible. And the other one was the government chose not to take any benefit from a potential reduction in driving. We have actually seen a 5% reduction in driving in kilometres driven since COVID, which at the moment looks as if it might be here to stay. But of course, we don't really yet know what trends look like. The government has chosen not to take any account of that. So the emissions from transport in 2030 in the government's plan will now be significantly higher than they were. And therefore, other places are going to have to find significant additional emissions reductions if we're going to have to get, if we're going to get to our target. Well, as Lord Deben said, the Climate Change Committee produced its last assessment, annual assessment under his leadership in the summer. And this is what it said in terms of its assessment of where we're going to meet our carbon budgets. The carbon budgets are the purple vertical lines. So there's one in the middle of the first set of coloured boxes. There's one at the bottom that you can't see of this central set. And there's one at the bottom here of this final set for CB6. The thick thick grey line is our NDC, our 2030 NDC. And what you can see is that the Climate Change Committee said it was now pretty confident we would meet our fourth carbon budget, the one for the middle of the 2020s. A big reason for that actually is this 5% drop in kilometres driven, so a really real benefit in transport. But actually it was less confident, so more red, amber and yellow in terms of lack of credible plans and policy, more amber, red and yellow for both the CB5, which is our NDC, and also for CB6 for the mid 2030s. So a real feeling of anxiety that we are not preparing for the longer term. And if we just look at that through a different lens, which is by sector, then quite a lot of red, amber and yellow for surface transport, an awful lot for buildings, a worrying amount of red for industry, a rather more positive position for electricity supply in terms of how credible the government's policies and plans were at the middle of the year. And I'll come back to that. The Climate Change Committee has a really interesting set of indicators it now uses to see whether we really are making progress against these things, because you often you need indicators sort of ahead of the game to say are you en route. So this is for some of those sectors the set of indicators it uses, and as you can see, its assessment in June this year was that there are quite a lot of red indicators in every one of those areas. So electric van sales are well behind where we need them to be. And of course, we're all getting more and more deliveries by vans, which means that van kilometres have gone up very significantly in the last few years. So that's a key one. On the heat pumps, you know, not surprisingly, heat pump installations, heat pump cost, skills, trained heat pump. I have to mention skills, don't I, Paul? Trained heat pump installers. So lots of areas where we really are lagging behind, and we do need the government to be focusing on how does it deliver the policy that will improve the situation in those sectors. So of course, people have mentioned, well, John Lord Deben has mentioned the Prime Minister's speech, and we've had a number of developments since June and the Climate Change Committee's report. So let me just end on that. We've had the pushback of the petrol and diesel phase out from 2030 to 2035. Actually, that sounded terrible, but actually the zero emission mandate for car manufacturers that Lord Deben referred to is unchanged. So that probably won't make very much difference. That was just a very political point. We've had against buildings, we've had a whole list of delays to when gas boilers need to be phased out from new installations. They're not huge impacts because they're all kind of minority areas, like people who live off grid and have oil or gas from a tank in the garden. So it's not huge numbers of homes. And we have had an increase in the boiler upgrade grant to 7,500, which will be helpful. We've had an announcement in the Prime Minister's speech of fast-tracking grid infrastructure, which is hugely important because, as Paul has mentioned, the scale of electricity infrastructure we're going to need. But of course, we have also had the latest round of contracts for difference auctions where there were no bids for offshore wind, which when we've got a target for 50 gigawatts, sorry, John, of offshore wind by 2030 is a bit unfortunate. We've also, more recently, also had the Port Talbot, the positive announcement of the funding for Tata to take the steelworks at Port Talbot to electric arc furnaces, which will improve the situation from June against industry. So we've had a whole mix of positive and negative announcements, which probably don't make, when you add up the total, a huge amount of difference. They've actually been very political. And actually, the Climate Change Committee has a detailed analysis coming out about those tomorrow, being published tomorrow, to tell you exactly how much difference all of these announcements will make. But what they have done is that they have really damaged our international reputation. And Paul talked about the 50 to 60 billion per annum of investment we need. That's not investment we've got in this country. That's investment we need people to bring in to help us build this new electricity system. And those investors overseas now think that we're backtracking on our commitments. And that has been really damaging to UK's reputation. And I think that may be one of the most damaging things and is probably an unintended consequence of the Prime Minister's speech. So that is what I am really worried about. But I cannot leave you without saying mitigation is critical, but the temperature is going to go on rising at best for the next 30 years. So mitigation alone is not enough, and we need to adapt as well. Thank you very much.